of our own making. That's where we started. I have two lessons left, two messages, one this morning and one next week. And where I said that we were trying to get to was ultimately to become more aware of God in our life. And what impedes that and what facilitates or what helps that, that's the reason for these messages. I'm trying to see if we can find ourselves to become more aware of God, more infused with God, more all things motivated by God in our daily lives. That's where I'm trying to get you. Why, brother? Because we've come through this season of a lot of disruption in life. Disruption in life, and it affects people's faith, not just their daily living. And I feel like it's important that we realize that our strength is going to be in a daily walk with God, infused with God, where God sort of, he really starts to answer our daily problems in a marvelous way. So that's the reason for these messages. We talked about going on a journey, that we begin sometimes in life from destinations of our own making. We thought that we were, sort of at the destination God wanted us to be at. Well, then we find out that there's a lot in this destination we find ourselves at of our own making. And so the Lord helps us understand how to move from that, because this is a journey. Faith is a journey. It's not just a destination. So that's part of what we've been talking about. And there are interim destinations in life, places that we are meant to get to in life. But then from there, we can't get stale and hard and cold and indifferent. But the Lord wants us to keep moving on the straight and narrow way. So this morning I'm going to be speaking to you at a place that hopefully we start to arrive at, which I call self-awareness. More aware of ourselves. This was, in a way, covered in the Bible lesson for the adults this morning, and I'm going to expand upon it. I'm going to be in some of the same chapters in the Bible. So the first thing I'm going to ask you to do is take your Bibles, and I hope you brought your Bibles, and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where we were reading this morning. And I'm going to be speaking about a couple of verses here that are going to be important. And so I have two witnesses here for this thought of becoming self-aware in a biblical sense. The first witness is found in the first in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. The second witness I'm going to speak to is in Galatians chapter 2. We'll get there in a minute. So we're going to use these two witnesses to try and understand how aware we are we? How aware are we of ourselves and this journey that we're on, okay? Because it matters. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. Appreciate your prayers this morning, all right? There's going to be services where we'll get together, and as we have, we might not do anything but sing. So it's not going to always be we're sitting there listening to me. There's nothing wrong with that, but I would like us to spend a lot more time talking to each other and singing as we work these things out, okay? But we're still kind of in this way of worship this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. The apostle says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child." He was at a place, a destination of his own making, and it was, in a sense, juvenile. Don't confuse this with the childlike faith that Jesus wants us to have. Think of what he's saying here as a incomplete, a place that he had arrived at through his own devices, the apostle. When he was a child, he spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. I saw that I had arrived at a destination that was largely of my own making, even a faith destination. But I began to understand that I need to move from there. There's things about myself that need to change, that need to become closer with God. When I became a man, I put away childish thinking. I'm thinking right now, and I don't recall the name, but I'm thinking of this individual who after, oh my goodness, maybe 70 years, still presents as a kind of juvenile person. It's as if people get to a place in life, a destination. Sometimes things happen at that place in life that cause us to get stuck. Well, then that person learned basically nothing new for the next however many years. And for all intents and purposes, they were rather juvenile in their thinking at 70 or whatever years old they are. And it's related to another thought that somebody told me. Sometimes, you know, we get to a place in life where we've learned up to that point, but then we just keep repeating what we've learned year after year, and we don't learn anything new. And we're stuck, see? And my idea, my desire, is not to be stuck at a place of my own making, but rather to get unstuck so that I can move forward with God. And we'll see here that each of us have things that we need to clearly see. The title of our message is, I Can See Clearly Now. Don't you want to see yourself clearly as God sees you? Isn't it important to you to see yourself the way God sees you? I mean, what's wrong with that? Right? That's what we want. We want to see ourselves as God sees us. The pastor once said, you know, in an audience like this, if you were to look around in the room and all that we could see was a spiritual color, maybe green for on and red for off or something like that, and that's all we could see, and if we looked around the room and all we could see were not faces and names but just colors, in a room like this there might be some red that spirit is off this morning. That spirit's disconnected from God. We'd look around, we might see some green, that one's on. We might see some yellow moving from green to red, you know, in a room like this. How do we see ourselves? We all like to say, oh, brother, I'm on. I see myself as God sees me. I'm on. But you know what? Sometimes there's parts of ourselves that are not on, and we don't see it. And we need to see ourselves as God sees us in order to keep moving. Otherwise, we're stuck. Or worse. And so, but the blessing is we can get to the place where I can see myself more clearly now. And I'll tell you, that's a great blessing. And so then he says, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And I really want to spend time on that 12th verse in this witness to my idea. As we travel on in life from these destinations, we should be interested in our faith. We should be interested in leaps of faith to get over things that we can't do by ourselves. We should be interested in the teachings of Christ. Everybody here this morning interested in the doctrine of Christ? Okay? As we go along. As I said last week, we should be interested in confessing our faults one to another, that we might have an effectual and fervent prayer. Come on. And confessing our fault to God, that we not be stuck in a place of our own making. And so confession, I think, is underrated. It needs to be emphasized. Not that we walk around like somehow we have this false sense of humility that we have to go tell everybody, you know, what our faults are. But there are things about us that God needs to know from us and that I know about myself so that I can confess it and acknowledge it. And that should lead us to an understanding that we come to today, which is, I see myself. I see myself. I'm aware of my faults and my weaknesses. Can we say that? Can y'all say what your fault? I don't want you to raise your hand. Say, brother, I'd like to tell everybody what my faults and weaknesses are. But can we say, I know a little bit about myself. I know what my... See, sometimes we like to say, oh my, I see their fault. I see their weakness. I see the world's faults. I see the world's weaknesses. And then it's all about the other. And that's not my question. My question is, can we see our own faults and our own weaknesses this morning? Do we know what we are about? I'm not talking about lost in sin, but rather good people that love God with faults and weaknesses. And do we acknowledge them? And do we know what they are? This is a blessing to know that. Okay. How do we see ourselves? I can see clearly now. And the song said, the rain is gone. But my thought is, I can see myself clearly now. That ought to be a goal of everybody here. In this letter, Paul acknowledges that there are things about God and about who we are and who God is that we just don't understand that well. And people who love God like to profess that, look at brother, this is my interest. This is my motive. This is how I go. Somebody says, this is how I roll. All things that have to do with God. I'm into this. This is my bread every day. And there are things about yourself that you don't see. And God wants us to know ourselves better. He wants us to see ourselves better, so that we can be more effective for God and more effective in our relationships with other people. Okay? This was also in our lesson this morning. I see myself. How does he say it here? Go back to it. We see through a glass. This is an old-fashioned word for mirror. It's not a window. This word for glass here is mirror. So take the word glass out and substitute the word mirror. The word through does not mean that you're looking through a pane of glass to something on the other side. What that word through means is by virtue of or by means of. I see myself by means of a reflection in a mirror. That's what that verse means. That's very important because we need to understand that he's talking about himself here. He's not talking about how he sees God or how God sees him necessarily, although that's part of it. I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. Rather, he's talking about how he sees himself. And this is important because if we were to take this in context and go back into the verses that are above it, he's talking about prophecy and things that are not clear, and we know in part, and I used to be a child, and I didn't quite see things, and now I see a little bit better. But even then, even now, I look at myself in a mirror, and how well can you see yourself in a dimly lit room? Right? Because the reflection is simply a reflection of you, right, from light. So light shines on an object, and it's reflected. And depending on the brightness of the light, that's the brightness of the reflection back to us. That's why we see the moon, right? The moon doesn't have its own source of illumination. It depends on the sun. The sun shines on the moon. We see it in the sky. It's a reflection of the light shined by the moon. By the sun, rather. Okay, so it's the same with us. We're looking in a mirror, but the room from which we look in that mirror is dimly lit. This is an analogy for life. We're in a life where sometimes it's difficult to see ourselves. Because the illumination that we depend upon to see that reflection is not quite as bright as we would like. And you say, brother, how is that be? Aren't we in possession of all the truth? Don't we know the truth, brother? And the truth is as a bright light. How can that be? Well, then you need to ask yourself, how can this be? You read it. You're reading just what I'm reading. We see by means of a mirror darkly. I can't see myself clearly. I only know myself in part. He's not talking about the truth necessarily of God's word. He's talking about how he sees himself. Face to face. Then, in a life where there's full illumination, then I shall see whose face? I shall see God's face. We shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then shall I know even also, as even also I am known. There's a large element in this verse of being self-aware, being aware of myself in relation to God, how God sees me. The image that I look at in that mirror is supposed to be a reflection of the light upon the image. The light upon the image is the light that comes from God. That illumination upon me is supposed to be reflected. I'm supposed to see myself as God sees me. And I'm supposed to be a reflection of godliness that comes from that light which has shined upon me. But sometimes it's not that easy. So some of you are wondering if I've changed anything here right now. And I'm going to refer to this later, but I'm going to go there now. Psalms 139. Because you're wondering if it's quite that way. Verse 23. Psalm 139, verse 23. What's that say? Search me with a bright light. Search me, O God. Why does he say that? Because there's need for illumination in his life. Do you believe this is a sinner that is asking this question? Or is it someone who loves God? Search me with a bright light. So that why? I know my heart and try me. Put me through some tribulation. Test me. See what I got. I like to think, you know what? It's easy to be nice to people when everything's going well. But you're driving down the road and somebody cut you off. Or you're backing out of a parking place in the parking lot and somebody didn't see you and you had the right to do it and they backed into you. Or something happened at home that upset you. Or you name it. It's easy to be kind to people and pleasant when everything's going well. But when it's upset and things aren't going well and something happened to you, right? What comes out? What comes out? Search me, God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. Why? To see if there's any wicked way in me. Because the mirror that I'm looking at reflects to me an image that's difficult for me to see who I really am. And so I need you to turn up the light. Because I really want to know who I really am. Let me ask you a question. Are each of us fully interested in knowing who we really are? Do each of us presume that we've arrived at a destination where everything has been removed that needs to be removed? There's nothing about us still that is troublesome. Have we arrived at that place? that I don't have any faults or failings or quirks or idiosyncrasies or any of that gets in the way with my relationship with other human beings? Have we arrived at this place? Or am I the only one in the room this morning that still has faults and failings? Am I the only one? I don't think so. That we want God to turn up the light brightly and illuminate what's going on with us. Because I have some things that happen and it's not always the way I want it to come out. And so, God, I want you to illuminate my heart. Show me what's in there. And see, good people presume that when you talk like this, that somehow what you're referring to is sin. And so they exempt themselves from this illumination. Say, no, brother, I'm all good. Or, yeah, I know I have failings, brother, and so I pray and I ask God to reveal to me what I'm in need of and so forth, and I have my devotions, and I read the scripture, and I get on my knees and pray, and I'm a religious person, and I've got stuff about me that needs to change, and somehow I'm stopping short. I'm stuck. I'm stuck at a place of my own making, and God wants to say, No, you see yourself dimly when you look in the mirror of life. And even though you have access to all of this light, you still have some things about yourself that you see dimly. But the apostle said in Corinthians, he said, this is true, but there's coming a time when I shall know myself as God knows me. And that's a blessing. Even in this life, I am a witness to this. Has anybody here that's lived for many years come to places in your life, you don't have to raise your hand, and because of a crisis or something that you really had to solve, and you'd live for decades, but you became aware of something about yourself that somehow had been dim to you, relatively hidden. Has this happened to anybody? And from that revelation, you were able to make a move from this destination and continue the journey, and you were able to conquer some things because you were in the way, right? Self, and this is not about selfishness, although we're going to get to that. It's about who we are, that we only see ourselves dimly reflected. So, lest you think that I'm kind of off my rocker in Corinthians, I went back to Psalm to prove to you that we need full illumination in order to see ourselves clearly. And there's a biblical reason for it, because that's how God wants his saints to progress. All right. So that's the first point. Except that you see yourself dimly and be constantly curious about yourself in dealing with your faults. Constantly curious. Make yourself a project. And be constantly curious about yourself and how your mind works and how your spirit works and how your faith works, and make yourself the project. And quit making the other the project. Make yourself the project. I have found there's plenty to do and great satisfaction in working on the self and the things that you learn about yourself after 60 years that you didn't quite know that well. And now, oh my goodness, it's as if a log jam breaks and water flows as it's intended. See what I'm saying? This is where we're going. So that's the first thing, that we are looking through a mirror. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 2. Why are you saying this, brother? I would like us to think about, are we stuck still at a place of our destination? And how are we moving on in the journey in faith? And we're coming to this place where all of this faith and doctrine and all this stuff is now allowing us to work on some things about us. We become more self-aware. When we become more self-aware, God can use us more effectively, and we're better at our relationships with other people. Verse 11, chapter 2, Galatians. But when Peter was come to Antioch, Paul withstood him face to face, because Peter was to be blamed. About what? For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. Peter ate with the Gentiles. Before some of the saints from Jerusalem came to Antioch, Peter used to hang out with the Gentiles in Antioch, and he was fine with it. But when these folks from Jerusalem came, Peter withdrew and he separated himself, and he feared them which were of the circumcision. He became ashamed of his interactions with the Gentiles because Peter was a Jew. And when the Jews from the council, these are Christian Jews, showed up in Antioch, Peter was ashamed because he thought, well, they're going to think less of me. They're not going to accept my testimony. They're going to think I'm off my rocker. They'll think that I've whatever. And so he separated himself from the Gentiles. Imagine how they felt. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. In other words, the people that were in Antioch that were Jewish, they started to make division, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Barnabas got carried away in Peter's attitudes. And there was division that was being caused among the Jews and the Gentiles. But Paul said, when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Here again, the truth of the gospel is meant to illuminate us, that we can see ourselves as we are. And Peter was now in a dim room and was not able to see himself. I said to Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews? You're being two-faced. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, and so on. And he's going to go on in a kind of narrative about justification and the strength of the law and so forth. This is a common theme that Paul has. Well, basically the point here is that Peter couldn't see himself. Now, this is the same Peter that in Acts chapter 2 received the Holy Ghost from above. This is the same Peter who preached a good sermon in that chapter. This is the same Peter who shortly thereafter found himself at the temple, and there was a lame man who wanted an alms. And Peter said, I don't have any money, but rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ. This Peter. So let's don't find any fault with Peter's spirit or his testimony, his place with the saints. Let's don't find any fault there insofar as he comes to this place with the right credentials. Okay? Now, let's examine ourselves. Do we have the same credentials? Well, brother, I forsook my sin. I prayed that God might forgive me. I've turned my back on the world and its ways and its follies. I've lived according, sound like Paul? I've lived according to all the truth of the gospel that I know, brother. All these many years, I have credentials. And then this Peter that had those credentials had a human failing, a fault, that caused him to be ashamed of who he was relative to somebody else. And the people that were there with him, he was more impressed. He was more interested in impressing them than he was at continuing what he was doing locally. Sometimes I see this. Even perhaps this affects us. You know, we're in a place and we don't lie, but we're uncomfortable about the truth of the present. And so we make up a narrative that kind of protects the flesh right? It's not a lie, but it kind of protects the flesh. And now you're looking at me, brother, are you making allowance for sin? No, I'm speaking about how human beings behave. See, this, saints, this is very, very important. We need to get to the place where we are brutally honest about being human and brutally honest about the way we are behaving. And I'm not suggesting that the church is behaving improperly or anything like that. But as human beings, from time to time, we have faults and failings, personalities, quirks, ways of dealing with problems. Anybody here ever get under stress? When you're stressed out, sometimes you behave differently than when you're not stressed out. See? And we see ourselves in those moments dimly. We see ourselves reflected dimly. We have a hard time seeing ourselves. And then we profess over the top of that and make excuse and allowance for being human when in fact it's getting in the way. Manners that we have and so forth, getting in the way. We just make excuse for it. We tell ourselves, well, I love God, I'm saved and sanctified, or we pray, or we ask some kind of an apology, but things don't change. And they need to change. We have arrived at a destination of our own making, and we're stuck. And we need to move. And Peter found himself like this. And Paul was the agent of change, who confronted Peter and said, Peter, you're a saint just like I am. You're an apostle. And you're stuck right here. And you need to move. You need to move. By the way, if you think about it, and it helps you any, the book of Galatians, many feel, was the first letter of Paul, of the Pauline epistles. The book of Galatians, many feel, was the first one that he wrote. The books, the letters of the that he wrote to the Corinthians, many feel, are among the last letters that Paul wrote. And in Galatians, he has some time frames here. So what you're reading on his confrontation with Peter, right? He confronted Peter. Peter, you don't see yourself. Many years later, he would repeat this theme in the 13th chapter of the Corinthians. And it's consistent. He's telling us, I've had this experience. I have seen myself, and I have seen Peter, and I've seen others. And sometimes we just don't see ourselves quite clearly. Okay. He has trouble seeing himself. So there's some things we can take away, and this is where we're going to wrap this up. We can rightly claim to be changed. We can rightly claim to be a new creature and not be the person we used to be and be relatively clueless about who we really are. And I'm asking this morning, are you okay with that? You say, brother, I don't think I'm so uninformed, so clueless about who I really am. Are there faults and failures about you? And you might even have some knowledge of them. When I get under stress, I tend to do this. I mean, a lot of times your companion will tell you a lot about yourself. And you say, well, we've had this discussion before, and that's kind of how I am. Are you okay with that? I mean, if it gets to the point where it gets in the way, I mean, are you okay with that? Are you okay with that? Do we think that there's nothing I can do about pieces of myself? I believe that in Psalm 139, that person was not okay with continuing to be someone they wanted to change. I believe they were not okay with being just, that's how I am and that's how it's going to be. I believe that person was curious about themselves, that they believed God could still change them. Praise God. 2 Peter 3:18. I can see clearly now. I can see clearly now. 2 Peter 3:18. It's talking about growing in grace. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Are we all interested in growing in grace? What does that mean? Somebody just give me your idea. I'm interested in what anybody might have to say. What does that mean? What does it mean to grow in grace? Grow in the Spirit? Become more patient? More in the completeness of God? Grow in His Spirit? His favor? Becoming more like Christ? Eh?
Evolving.
Thank you. Did I hear some others? Grow in grace. Brother Ray?
Grow in the Spirit of love.
Grow in the Spirit of love. All right. Grow in grace. Now let me ask you this. How does that happen? Trial, tribulation produces patience. Eh? Be willing to change. Recognize your need. I'm asking, how does one grow in grace? What's the mechanism?
Examining ourselves,
like that Psalm 139 said? Hey, humility. Okay, so think about it. What's the mechanism by which we grow in grace? He just says here, he places it out here, it's like a command, but grow in grace. And I'm thinking, how does that happen? Really, when I leave here this morning and I go about my business today and tomorrow, how am I going to grow in grace? Practice? Hey? I walk in the Spirit. Hey. Measure to what He shows us. Now, let me ask you this question. All these are good things. We know how to do this because these are spiritual answers. Now, I'd like you to think about your own failing and your own faults and your own personalities. By the way, you're all angelic and nobody has any sort of human faults, right? That's why some of you are looking puzzled. Because, brother, I don't have any human failings and faults. What's the point of this message? Grow in grace. Now let me ask you to take all those answers and to apply them to our human needs that we have. Does this happen despite our interference or our ignorance? Because if I'm not fully aware of what my needs are and what my faults and failings are, how am I going to grow in grace? If I have a habit of XYZ, I'll not say what it is, but it gets in the way of an interpersonal connection with somebody else or with another or a situation. I have a habit, right, a part of me that responds in such a way, right? And it leaves me disconnected. It doesn't allow grace to flow. It stops grace. It interferes with grace, right? Something about me. Am I fully aware of what that is? If I'm partially aware of it and it is getting in the way, am I willing to change? Am I willing to deal with it? Because otherwise, take this scripture and how are you going to do the things that you said must be done? I must walk in the Spirit. I must be humble. I must see myself. I must be examined. How are you going to do all those things if there's something about you that's in the way that you're unwilling to change? How will you do it? That's my question. What's the mechanism by which we will allow grace to grow? Because we can say, oh yes, brother, I want to do all those things, those spiritual things. I want to practice them, right? But then there's something human about us. that we're not willing to address or we're even unaware of. So now I'm going to get to the part where I'm going to use myself as the guinea pig. Several years ago, I became aware of things about myself that were getting in the way of important relationships. And I had known about these things for decades, but I didn't know how to change. I didn't know how to address them. These are very interpersonal things, personal characteristics. I was aware of it in part, but I didn't know how to change. And I love God. I wanted to serve God. I didn't want to be a sinner. I didn't want to be in the world. I didn't value the world or its folly, all of that stuff. But things about me that were getting in the way. And it came to some crises moments. Usually these are prompted with a relationship with another. Telling about myself now, came to some crises moments, and I decided until I can conquer this, I am not going to let it go. Been here, done that for too long, getting in the way, serious getting in the way. I'd like to tell you something. When you have to stand up here in this position and be pleasant and encouraging, and charismatic. And I'm not the third one, but you have to be all those things because you're up here. And you've got things in your life that are causing you great distress. Not easy to do. And I came to believe that I don't want to live like this any longer. It's tearing me up. I can't present myself to my brothers and sisters in one way and then have something else tearing me up in another way. Because I just don't want to live like that. And so I determined, I don't care what I have to do. I don't care where I have to go, who I have to see to get better, but I want to get better. I don't care how many people I have to see or what they call themselves or where they're from. Now, obviously, I wasn't going to place myself in spiritual harm and place myself in the presence of bad spirits or anything like that. But in an honest search, that psalm, that's why that scripture means so much to me. Psalm 139. Try me, know me, search me. I determined I really want to do business with this now because this has gone on for far too long. I was probably 50 at the time. And the Lord began to work with me. And when you allow this to happen with yourself, and it's that important. When you allow God to do what you have prayed for in Psalm 139, He will break you. And He will break you a second time. Perhaps the first time He broke you is when you went to the altar and you confessed your sin and you said, I don't want to be a sinner anymore. And God broke you of that. But later in life, we also need such a profound breaking sometimes. This is Jacob at the river. That's why another time is so important to me. You wrestle with God, and when God does His business with you, He breaks you. And in Jacob's case, he came up lame. He was not the person he used to be. And God took away a bit of his own strength that he used to count on. And for the rest of his life, God reminded him, you are not as strong as you think you are. And you need me. And when you allow yourself to be placed in those positions, in those moments, God will do a work on you. It's tremendous. It's so revealing. It's the light grows brighter in the room. You see yourself more clearly in the mirror because you wanted that self-examination. And now the crisis that you had arrived at, it starts to get resolved. things start to change. You say, brother, does it always stay that way? Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you backslide into yourself a bit, if you'll allow me to say that. But you're aware. You are aware of something about yourself that for years you weren't aware of, and it was getting in the way. This is what he means. Greater light. We move from being so self-absorbed to becoming self-aware. And we like to think, you know, brother, I've been to the self-help aisle at Barnes & Noble. I've pulled all the books off. I've learned all about these new techniques and self-awareness help and all this stuff. And if you think that's what I'm talking about, you just didn't hear the whole message this morning. And not only that, brother, I pray and I read and I study and I want to know what God has for me and all of this. And people say that. And then a person says, I really am rather clever. I am really rather astute, brother. I actually know myself. And I know some faults about myself. And I'm quite clever that way. I'm actually so clever that I can diagnose them in other people. Or if you don't say that, you can say, yes, brother, I have done what you say. And from that place, we need to move. That is a place of your own making. It is not a place that God has brought you to. It is a place you have brought yourself to. And from there, we need to say, I am not so clever. I don't know so many things. I am rather uninformed about myself. I do need to become more self-aware. And I can't do this by myself. I need help. There's three things that can happen when we come to these moments of crises. We can either fight back to protect ourselves, and we can blame the other. There's three things we can do. Another inclination when we arrive at these moments of crisis is we can flee from them and say, I'm done with the crisis, I'm not going to stick around, and we run away from it. The third thing that we can do is we can fight, we can flee, we can freeze. A deer in the headlights. I'm stuck. I don't know how to change this thing about me, and it's causing a problem, or I'm in this problem. I don't know what to do with it, and so I'm just frozen. But you see, there's a fourth thing that we can do. We can seek to understand ourselves. We can become totally curious about me, the things I don't know about me. And most of this, you can't know yourself. The most important things God must reveal to you. But we must come to Him willingly and say, Father, I have some things evidently, and I'm part of something, and it's not working out. Father, shine the light on me. Let me see myself in the mirror more clearly. And that's the fourth thing that we've been talking about this morning. If we were so clever about knowing who we are, the crisis or the problem in which I'm involved would be solved. But it's not. So I am not as clever as I thought I was. And in fact, the other is not so evil. And we don't know ourselves so well as we ought. And so we have a need to move from being more self-absorbed to becoming more self-aware. And this is one part of the journey before the one that I really want to get to, and that is I want to be more aware of God. But I cannot become more aware of God until I am more aware of myself. I cannot grow in grace until I am more aware of what is getting in the way of helping me grow in grace. Grace is the vehicle that oils the gears, that makes the thing move. Grace is found in a sanctified life. And we say we want to be sanctified, but there's things about us that we don't even know. The little story I told you about myself was to help you understand, we get to this place, this destination in life, and now we have an opportunity to sort of move, to jerk out of this place and move again. And in my particular case, what a thrill to learn some things about myself I did not know. And so many things I learned, God helped me. And the brokenness that comes from that, you really understand what it means to be broken at this point. We could say a lot more. We're going to finish. You get the message. I can see clearly now. We'll sing a song. If you would like to come up and pray, you're more than willing to do that. As we sing, take advantage of this time, and we'll dismiss after this, brother.